email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551, ray@rte.ie. Now, it would have been great if we were at the Euros this year. But you have to admit, it's a great tournament for the neutral. Loads of things to talk about. That right, Eamon Dunphy?
Yes, it's been interesting and a bit depressing from an Irish point of view, because we wouldn't be really very competitive the way we're playing at the moment, and very small nations have moved past us, and traditionally, nations that aren't traditionally strong, like Georgia, for example, Slovenia. There's only 2 million people, I think, in Slovenia, but they pushed England very close and came within, you know, a minute or two of beating England. So, for us, it's been depressing to watch. But it's been intriguing in its own way. Big nations, Spain have looked very good, Germany have looked very good, Switzerland, who play England, have looked very good as well. So, we're at the quarterfinal stage now, and that's the knockout stage, and of course, that's when penalties come into play as well. So, it'll be a good watch now for the next, the Sunday week is the final. Mm. So it's a good watch, and it's a hard competition. It's hard to call. You could say that England have been lucky again with the draw. It's hard to see. I think they might get to the final, Ray, and they might win it. Yeah. And that means all the football writers would be out of a job. But
no, they won't. But it's
something
not,
else.
But, you know, what do they say about tournaments? It's about coming right at the right time, peaking at the right time.
The look at the draw as well is a huge thing, you know.
But they haven't. Peaked. They haven't peaked yet, Eamon, have they?
No, they certainly haven't peaked. And the question is, will they ever peak? They have some marvellous players, but the manager is under pressure. He makes strange decisions. The problem England have, Ray, is a simple one. Football is a team game. If you want to pick all your best players, all your biggest stars from the Premier League, which is the strongest league in the world, probably, well, that's not the way football works. You have to pick a team that's balanced and with a variation of skills, you know. Mm. And Southgate tends to pick the 11 best players, and that doesn't work. It hasn't worked so far, but they may, you know, I think they'll lose to Switzerland on Friday, but they may not. They may win.
That game is on Saturday, Eamon.
But
here's the thing. For example, he brought Tony on in the last couple of minutes.
Yep.
Now, he made an impression on the game. Would he not learn
from
that?
He did, yeah. And the goal that Jude Bellingham scored was a brilliant goal. Absolute class. In the last minute, just when you need it, it was absolutely marvellous. And, you know, I would. And he's had a very, very poor tournament, Bellingham. He's a very bright guy and a very interesting guy. But, you know, he got this great goal, and then he made a few statements afterwards about the press, and he grabbed his testicles, and FIFA are going to, they don't like you doing that, so FIFA may well punish him for that.
Right.
It appears he's got away with it. But he's a bright guy. He's 21, turned 21 earlier this week. He was an essential part of Real Madrid's team that won the Champions League and the Spanish League. So he's an interesting player, and he's a player you'd have to play. He's one of the best players in Europe, but he hasn't played well in this tournament. Phil Foden was probably the player of the year in the Premier League.
Yeah,
but from Man City, Bellingham and Foden are both very gifted, but whether they can play in the same forward line is a question you'd have to wonder about, because Foden hasn't played well either. So.
Right. We'll come back to England in a moment. So Friday, it's Spain versus Germany, and you've talked about Spain already. Germany's the host. They're playing well. Who would you pick of those two?
I think Germany will beat them. I think they have two young wingers, Spain, and it's a great story. One of them is 16, and he was doing his intercert when he wasn't training. Good news is he passed. His name is
Lamine Yamal.
He's 16. I've seen him play for Barcelona. He's brilliant. He hasn't really, this is a tough tournament for him. And they have a young lad on the other side. Williams is 21. They're both subject to vicious racism in Spain, where racism in football is a real, real problem. And the sad story there, in a big way, Ray, Vinicius, the Brazilian, black Brazilian player, he threatened to stop playing altogether during the season. Racism is a real problem in Spanish football, but they are a bit lightweight. Two young guys like that, and another young guy in midfield, Pedri, who's a really outstanding Barcelona player as well, but he's 21. Whether they can manage Germany is a very, very open question. I think Germany will probably have too much experience for them, but I would like to see Spain win, and I'm sure most neutrals would as well, because they are classy footballers.
So then the other one is Portugal, France, and
yeah.
we'll get to Ronaldo in a moment.
Okay.
but who would you pick from that?
Oh, I'd France, I think.
Yes, okay, right.
It's not a foregone conclusion, because France haven't played well. They've only scored 3 goals. Two of them are own goals. So they've really effectively scored 1 goal. But they're very experienced. They have Mbappe, they have Griezmann, they have very good players. They don't give many goals away. I think they'll be a bit too smart, and I see them progressing.
And I know it's a European tournament, but the world will be watching, because they have Ronaldo and Mbappe on the same field. I know that's happened before, but Ronaldo's coming to the end of his career, and Mbappe is peaking, which is so. Just on Ronaldo, you've bit of history there, Eamon.
Well, yeah, I have, and I was kind of, obviously I was wrong. In a big way. But
you said he was a cod, isn't it?
And he was very, he did a lot of diving and stuff when he was at Manchester, when he was young. And he looked classically like one of these guys who would dive to get penalties or get free kicks. It didn't look, as if he was a real professional, had a mind for it. But I was entirely wrong. I wasn't the only one. John Giles thought the same, really, but he didn't say it as passionately as I did.
As stridently as you.
And, there's a mural, apparently, up in Pittsburgh with that saying.
With your quote.
Ronaldo's a card. Yeah, so I'm famous for being wrong.
It's there forever. I suppose, you would have seen him as a showboater back in the day before.
Exactly.
You realise.
He's become, and let me make it clear now, he has, along with Lionel Messi, they will be remembered forever. And he's become the greatest goal-scoring phenomenon in the history of the game. Hmm. His records, he's broken every record in the book. He's 39 now. He's extremely vain, but he's a great pro. He's made himself so fit. He's looked after himself. All the techniques he has, he's practiced. And we only learned afterwards that he'd be on the training ground an hour after all the other guys had gone home.
Yeah.
So he has worked to become a great, great player with records, goal scoring. But he's stronger now than this fella Martinez, who is the Spanish brother, who is the Portuguese manager. And it looks like he's making all the decisions on the pitch. He's taking free kicks from 50 or 60 yards, which are ludicrous. And he's not distinguishing himself so far in the tournament. He's showboating and keeping better players out of the team.
But Eamon, okay, so there was histrionics there. He stepped up, he missed that penalty, and then he cried at half time of extra time.
Yeah.
A lot of criticism of that, including Didi Hamann.
Didi was quite rough on him.
Yes, he said he should have paused it, sort of paused the crying and kept it till after the game. But that's not the way the human condition works, is it?
I've tried the odd time myself. So.
Yes, you have. I've seen you, actually. I've been in your company.
Everybody's seen me, apparently. Some guy in the Irish Times said, it described me as the lachrymose Eamon Dunphy, because I didn't know what lachrymose meant. I left school when I was young, but it turns out it means somebody is always crying.
Yeah, it's your lachrymose gland is one that produces tears in your eye. I remember that from biology.
I see. That's a great thing, that education, isn't it?
but here's the thing, Eamon, sort of slightly serious, in that it's, you know, I think that it's great that a grown man shows his emotions.
And I think he was genuine. And Didi does. I mean, Didi's German, and he's a great friend of mine, and I'm very fond of him. And he's a great analyst as well. And I thought I couldn't quite understand why he was so annoyed, because I think the tears looked. He's either the greatest actor in the world. As well as the greatest goal scorer, or the tears were genuine.
Yeah.
And I think they were genuine. And I think, obviously, this is his last major championship. It means a lot to him that Portugal progress. Didi had tipped Portugal to win it before the tournament started. I don't think that tip will come up. I think they might go out now. But wherever Ronaldo is, this drama or melodrama.
Yeah. There was a letter to the Irish Times yesterday, sort of, and I spotted a comparison between Joe Biden and Ronaldo in that.
Really?
Yeah. It was a short letter. It was about men letting their ego interfere with their legacy. You know, that they stay on when maybe they should have moved on. You know, and maybe that's the case for Ronaldo. Maybe it's the case for Joe Biden.
Well, I think Ronaldo, you know, he's clearly still contributes. He's playing in Saudi Arabia now, where it wouldn't be hard to score goals. I don't think he's doing very well. B, I don't think he's enjoying it, because it's Mickey Mouse football, really.
This is at club level, yes. Money. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They're there for the money, and the money is, you know.
I know, but he doesn't need the money.
No, well, you find way with people.
Go on.
I wouldn't say. Well, you find with a lot of people who have a lot of money, and there's a few of them around this town that I know, and they never think it's enough. They want more, right? Yeah. Always. You know who I'm talking about.
I know, but I don't understand that, Eamon. I just don't understand it.
No, I don't understand it because hopefully we're normal human beings.
Normal-ish. Yes. Yeah.
But no, the guys with money, and I've known some of them very well, they can't have enough.
Mm.
It's what drives them.
Yeah.
So I guess Ronaldo would be in that category, except he has to work harder than some of those guys maybe to get the money. But I wouldn't begrudge him that. He's a poor lad. He was born poor, into difficult situation, his family-wise. He looks after his mother. He's a good man, I think. He looks after his family, and I think he loves the game.
Yeah, he
just
does.
Wants
he does.
To keep
That's
playing.
Obvious. So what about Joe Biden then? I heard you on the stand talking to Niall Stanage. A great chat.
Yeah.
He's very knowledgeable, isn't he, Niall Stanage?
He is, yeah. Niall is a great reporter, and he's... the White House is his assignment, you know. It's a terrible sadness. And now, with the prospect of Trump opening up a 6-point gap, which is enough to finish Biden, we have the prospect of Donald Trump and America no longer being a democracy. The Supreme Court ruling earlier this week is that a president has... total immunity for all official acts.
Yeah. There's a brilliant article today in the New York Times where they forensically go through Joe Biden's behaviour and speeches over the last few months.
I read it. The Irish Times have it.
Yes, he came out yesterday saying that the reason he performed so poorly at the debate was because he was jet-lagged. He had been here, there and everywhere in the weeks leading up to
it. 12 days since he'd been abroad.
Yeah, and he'd had 2 days rest before he prepared for the debate.
But
they're also saying in the article that transcripts of his remarks are frequently changed. So he says something in public and then when they release the transcript from the White House, the mistakes have been righted, which is worrying. And people close to him...
It is worrying. And even if he were to step aside now, Kamala Harris would be the vice president, would be the one who would probably have to take up the campaign and lead it. And, you know, I don't think she's been a stellar vice president. So it's the world is looking at down the barrel of something horrible. It will affect us too. It'll affect Europe. It'll affect NATO. It will affect our... Trump will have a good relationship with Putin. He said he'll fix the Putin, the Russia-Ukraine thing on his first day in office. Maybe he said, I'll fix it before I even get to the White House.
Yes.
So this guy is dangerous, an ugly thing.
And what's your take on Biden? He's 81. What age are you, Eamon?
I'm 79 in August, next month.
Right, okay.
But thank God I have all my faculties and I've been very fortunate.
But here's the thing, Eamon, here's the thing. You don't have numerous public engagements. You don't have to jet across the world and back. You don't have the worries of trying to keep the Middle East from not erupting. You don't have the worries of Ukraine and Russia. You know, and the worry of being re-elected. Like it's a mountain of pressure on that man.
Yes, there is, and the responsibility, which I think he feels. He's been a good president. I think the 4 years he's been in the White House have been... He has done a lot of very important things for the world in terms of galvanizing NATO when Putin invaded Ukraine, and he's fixed a lot of problems. He's done well in the United States as well. He's been a good president. I think the argument he and his people are making is, look at my record, and it's a good record, but can you go on if you don't have the, I think, cognitive...
wherewithal to do it,
wherewithal to do it. You probably can, but it's almost as if he'll be telling people around him what he thinks... what they need to do, and they'll do it. But you can't, you know, he's going to have to meet with Putin or Xi Jinping, the Chinese leader, and others. And if the world knows that the American president is struggling in terms of his mental capacity, then it's not good news. The world is now at a tipping point, right? It's very serious. We've never been here before. The United States is the guarantor. It's the richest and most powerful, government in the world. It's on the side of democracy and freedom, at least it was until earlier this week. But the Supreme Court and three of those justices on the Supreme Court were appointed by
Trump,
by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They are not now... Democrats. They don't believe in the concept of democracy. And they have made rulings. There's another ruling they made last week, and you probably don't know about it. I certainly didn't until last night. And it's this. On the question of bribery, if you are bribed and agree to do something wrong and unfair for a bribe, if you do the thing you've been bribed to do and don't receive the money until after you've done that deed, that's not bribery. Did you know that?
I didn't. I'll have to look into that.
But just check after
yes,
the program.
I will. Yeah.
And you'll find it's the most shocking thing.
So I'm just worried. I'm just, final question just on the egos of Ronaldo and Joe Biden. Do you think Joe Biden really believes that he's the only person who can beat Donald Trump and that his ego is so inflated that he's not going to stand aside and let a more able person
run for presidency? I think he probably was the only person who could beat Trump 4 years ago, because there weren't loads of Democrats lining up. I think now, apart from Michelle Obama, who would beat Trump but doesn't want to be president, he still thinks it. I think Gretchen Whitmore, for example, who's the governor of one of the swing states, Michigan, I think, she would beat Trump, but is it too late? And will he step aside? I don't think he will step aside. I think he should step aside, but it's a terrible... The world is in bad shape, and Trump has been quite clear about what he's going to do. He's going to get his enemies. He's going to be vengeful and he's going to be a dictator. And NATO, Europe, all of that he's not interested in. He'll do deals with Putin, which will humiliate Ukraine. We're in a terrible place, Ray. It's very, very serious. And it's very serious for Ireland as well, because so much of what we have, we earn from corporation tax.
Yes, yeah.
And if he makes some of those industries come back to America, because they are isolationist, they think they can go on their own.
It's all very grim.
Room near you, Ray. Very soon.
It's all very grim. So we can distract ourselves and from all of that by watching the Euros.
Exactly.
Yeah, Spain, Germany, Portugal, France on Friday, and then on Saturday it's Switzerland, England, and Turkey versus the Netherlands.
Eamon, England will win the World Cup. Trump will become president. Great.
Oh God, Eamon. Thank you so much. Thank you. Good luck.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.